This week on Public Address Science, the astonishing new car from Bavaria that won't cost the Earth. Many listeners will instantly recognise this sound as the 4.7-litre V8 engine from the Ford GT40. Now, I must admit that at some subconscious level, in the primeval, reptile part of my brain, I'm tremendously impressed with the stupendous noise and power output of this type of engine. However, I know in the rational, scientific part of my brain, the bit that's developed over the last million or so years of evolution, that this car and others like it are nothing short of environmental and economic disaster areas. Luckily for us, the standard passenger vehicle in New Zealand is nowhere near as grossly inefficient and gas-guzzling as the GT40. Nevertheless, there's still scope to vastly reduce the amount of energy we use and the import dollars we spend on travelling from A to B in private passenger vehicles. The standard car in New Zealand consumes about 8 litres of fuel for every 100 kilometres travelled. Compare that with the Messerschmitt KR200 from Bavaria, which, 50 years ago, only required 3.2 litres per 100 kilometres, and you can see that there's still considerable room for improvement. Or, for a more modern car, what about the 2005 Audi A2 5-door, also coincidentally from Bavaria, which only requires 3 litres per 100 kilometres. It may surprise you to learn this, but a vast amount of energy is consumed by New Zealand's private passenger vehicles. For example, if everyone in this country simply changed their car for the super-efficient Audi A2, then it would not only cut the transport fuel consumption of New Zealand households by more than half, it would slash New Zealand's total energy consumption by more than 10%. That translates to a total savings at the pump of around $2.8 billion per year, most of which would otherwise be leaving the country and adversely affecting our balance of trade. And all this huge savings without reducing our total distance travelled by so much as a centimetre. It's all down to the efficiency of the car we use. But now the goalposts for automotive fuel consumption have been moved even further. Realising that most driving is merely commuting with one or perhaps two adults in a car, Bavarian auto manufacturer Laremo have recently produced an innovative and sporty-looking two-seater which can trundle along the autobahn at 160 kilometres per hour, has ample room for luggage in the back, or alternatively a couple of children, and has a truly astonishing fuel efficiency. At only 1.5 litres per 100 kilometres, it slashes the fuel efficiency record for a production car, and all at a retail price of only €10,990. Let's put all these fuel efficiency figures into perspective. Imagine driving a car down the whole length of New Zealand from Cape Reinga to Bluff. In one of those black, supercharged Range Rovers that I see parked outside Christ College every weekday, this would cost you around $720 in petrol at the pump. In a standard Toyota Corolla, the same trip would cost you a little under $300. In the Audi A2 5-door, it would set you back a mere $67, only about the same as your diesel road tax for the trip. And in the Laremo, it would cost you less than the CD you listened to on the way, only about $33. Laremo have just been exhibiting their new car at the massive Hanover Trade Fair, and I spoke on the phone to Uli Sommer, their head of concept development. I asked him how the Laremo had been received.
The response was great. We had a lot of people on our booth, and we had many TV teams, and everybody spoke good about Laremo.
Oh, that's very heartening. The principles involved in the design of fuel-efficient cars have been known for many years, going back to cars like the Messerschmitt KR200. But automakers haven't really seen it as being particularly important. Why were you inspired to design a car for fuel efficiency rather than, say, speed or power, as with other car companies?
From childhood, I was a fan of any individual mobility, especially cars. And from childhood, my parents made me sensitive for the problem of ending resources. So I had a conflict in between. And at any time, I try to solve this conflict by making emotional cars, which are really sporty but really efficient.
Okay, so what were the main engineering challenges that you had to overcome in terms of designing the Leremo car?
In a certain manner, I did anything new, but the really important invention was the idea to make an economic car. That sounds really simple, but the last years we so often spoke about alternative energies or high-efficient drives, and engineers today know that the efficiency of drives or the potential of alternative energies as far isn't as large as the potential of an efficient body and chassis. So we only have two main targets. First target, reduce wind resistance. Second target, to reduce weight. And any energy wasted is combined with those two values.
Okay, so your main design objectives were to minimize weight, aerodynamic drag, and I guess cost. How did you approach these problems in an engineering sense? Did you rely on wind tunnel testing or computer modeling?
Both we use, but the most important thing is that we are consequent in designing. So we don't use expensive materials for making the car lightweight. We are not the best aerodynamic specialists on the world. We made the car long, narrow and flat and gave him a consequent form. So at the first attempt we had a very good drag resistance. And the weight we reduced by using a linear cell structure made of steel plate so that the selling price can be so cheap.
So consequent design is what we refer to in English as a stringent design or design without compromise, where every single design decision must be consistent with the final goals. And interestingly, this has led you away from the traditional monocoque approach.
It's not a monocoque, but it has some similarities. The structure has three longitudinal girders on the height of bumpers, so you cannot open the door at the side. The doors are opening to the top, and because the car is so flat, the entrance so is more comfortable than with side doors. But the structure is rather simple, like a nail which doesn't have bending forces and so is rather rigid.
So you've used a small amount of steel in the linear cell structure, and then the rest of the body is presumably another material?
That's thermoplastics, which are cheap and simple and recyclable. Main construction principle is simplicity.
Okay, right. Now, Leremo's achievement of 1.5 litres per 100 kilometres is truly remarkable, even more so for a car costing under 11,000 euros. Given the interest that your car has received in Europe, other automakers have now got a new target to aim at. Do you expect them to try and beat your efficiency in the near future?
The car has some special sides, some special aspects, which perhaps wouldn't pass any marketing department of a normal car producer. But we are expecting some competition, there's no question. And future will change many things. But we think our concept is very attractive, and with or without the link of a big OEM, we will survive.
I certainly hope that Leremo survives. They will be producing a right-hand drive model suitable for New Zealand, and translating the price into our currency, you'd expect to pay around $20,000 for a brand new Leremo. While this vehicle might not be suitable for everyone, it must be hoped that other manufacturers will be motivated to lift their game so that far less energy is wasted in moving us from A to B by car.